WWE.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is Showtime, Eric Young.
I'm Santino Marella.
This is WWE Superstar The Miz.
It's me, DDP.
The greatest man that ever lived always liked a good rap, and you're listening to the greatest rap.
Stratus action is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
You see them now, John. Can't you hear them singing? Can't you hear them singing with me? Brothers and sisters, he's got the whole world in his hand. He's got the whole world in his hand.
Covering all the latest in the WWE.
Oh, did someone not get what they wanted? Oh, that's too bad.
And TNA.
A lot of people around here, well, they consider us a bad influence. And you know what? We're good with that.
Well, not bad meaning bad, but bad meaning good. An influence, as in we are the straws that stir the drink. We're in the position where the ladies want to see us and the fellas want to be us. They want what we have. They want to be where we are. And they're green with envy, just like my drink of choice. With your host,
Sing With Me, Children,
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my God, it's Taker, 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 Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
Thank goodness for my believers. They have truly been the wind beneath my wings.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you, of course, by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays, YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your action figure needs. I am, of course, your host, Lindsay Ward, and joining me, as always, is my co-host/producer/cruel individual, Sir Rockin.
What? I had to play it. It's the song everyone's crying over?
That's just mean, dude. I mean, seriously, that is just mean.
Hey, we're talking about tonight, so I figured, hey.
Oh yes, we are.
Why not come in with that song, you know?
Yeah. We're going to be talking all about CM Punk in the news, because, well, there are updates. There are massive updates concerning that situation. We've got some other stuff to talk about. Of course, we're talking about NXT tonight and Battleground on Sunday. But before we get into all that, we have our question of the night.
Who would you, yes, you out there in the chat room and on the Twitters, on the Facebooks, and on the Tumblrs, who would you like The Rock to face, possibly at WrestleMania 31?
Interesting stuff.
It is. Got a few interesting responses, so we'll get into that. And we got some stuff to talk about when it comes to that later in the program.
We do, but now we're going to jump right into the news brought to you, of course, by our friends over at PWMania.com. Great news source. Go check them out. They're amazing. And as promised, we are going to be talking about the biggest story coming out this week. And no, it's not Sting. He's second.
He's number
two. We'll get to him, too, but we have to jump just right in to the CM Punk update, possibly the final update, at least for a little while, in this, what, 6-month-long saga concerning him?
Yeah, it's been about 6 months since he walked out at, or the night after the Royal Rumble. And we've gotten to the point where, well, CM Punk officially is a free agent, everybody. He is no longer under WWE contract, as he was moved to the alumni section of WWE.com on Tuesday evening, and he issued the following afterwards. Nope, thank you. Thanks for all the help and support through the years. Health and happiness above all. Don't ever take any shit from anybody.
So it seems, ladies and gentlemen, that it is over. CM Punk is done. There are rumors circulating his contract expired Tuesday night, Wednesday morning at midnight, which is why he was moved Tuesday night. There has been no formal announcement from WWE concerning this, and at this time, at least I'm under the impression, I think a lot of people are as well, that there will be no there will be no formal announcement. They're just going to kind of sweep this under the rug. They're going to let Punk go on his happy way, and they're just going to move forward.
WWE.com has taken steps, again, moving into the alumni section of WWE.com, as well as WWE Shop and all his merch. If you're a big CM Punk fan, is now on sale for a limited time only on WWEShop.com. They've moved it all there. Some people were like, oh my god, they took it down, but then no, they took it down, but they were in the process of moving it when everyone went, oh my god, there's no longer on there, as they moved it over to the Eli section of WWE Shop. So yeah, he's done, officially. He's no longer a WWE superstar. Probably no longer a professional wrestler.
Yeah, it came out in a blog posting or an article posting that Bacon Destroy had done, where she said that her friend was a retired professional wrestler, and that was really kind of the first indication that Punk was done. I think Punk himself has said that as well, that he is retired.
Yeah, he did. So, he did an interview in some publication, I can't remember off the top of my head, where the question was asked, what is it like being a retired professional wrestler, or something to that effect. And yeah, he's done. He's no longer a WWE superstar, and he's happy. He's a married man. He's going to be able to travel from city to city wherever he wants to go, do autograph signings if he so chooses. He put out a tweet that he may be starting a band. He may be starting a podcast and setting a fire, and only two of those things were true. So, a band or a podcast could be coming in the near future for CM Punk, and I don't think...
Or a fire.
Well, yeah, the fire probably did happen.
Well, I could just picture, I don't know, like CM Punk chasing the crazy fans who sit outside his house with like a stick of fire or something to get them to go away. Like, you know, or he's like standing on his balcony if he has one, or his deck or whatever, shooting like flaming arrows, just poonk, poonk, picking people off.
I could see him with firecrackers just trying, torturing people with them.
Yeah, I can see that too.
Yeah.
It was 4th of July.
It was 4th of July.
I'm sure he could get them on sale.
And I doubt his podcast will be about pro wrestling. Just calling it a hunch.
Oh, if it's not dedicated to The Walking Dead, I will be sorely disappointed at him.
It'll be either Walking Dead, UFC, it'll be, you know...
Game of Thrones.
Something. Something.
Or HGTV.
Oh, I think I have him. I think I have him favorite because he got into a Hulk. I read one of the tweets, or you did. One of us did last week.
Mm-hmm.
He got into it with one of the people from HGTV on Twitter.
Wait, that was legit?
Uh huh.
Oh my god, it's amazing.
I think I have him saved for tweet of the week later.
That's genius. All right, well. Sad to see Punk go. It's always unfortunate. We've been kind of sitting here saying for the past 6 months he's probably done. You never count out the possibility it could have been a work, but obviously it's not. And Punk is officially finished with WWE. It's always unfortunate to see someone leave, especially in kind of the manner that this happened, where Punk just walked out. Because if you think about it, his last match was the Royal Rumble. And we never really got the chance to officially say goodbye to him.
Yeah, there was. That's the one thing I think everybody sort of was hoping for, and closure. That's all what people wanted. That's what every CM Punk fan wanted, was closure to the situation, and never got it. That's why people were up in arms. Oh my god, will CM Punk come back? Please come back, Punk. They just wanted closure. And
they wanted that one last match, that one more great match from him, because you know he's got one in him, and it's just it's unfortunate that we never got to see that, and I understand why we never got to see that. He was fed up, he was tired, he was hurting, and he had every right to do what he did. I think it could have been handled better still, but...
Oh, it could have been handled so, so much better, but he did it the way CM Punk does things.
Yes, so... It's unfortunate, and like I said, it's sad to see him go, but WWE has clearly moved on, Punk has moved on, and everybody seems to be doing well, so you can't complain.
You really can, and now, ladies and gentlemen, if you want more to CM Punk, by the WWE Network.
They're playing his DVD.
They're playing his DVD. It was on the night, I think, too.
It was on this afternoon, I know that.
Yeah, so everyone by the WWE Network to see CM Punk.
Yes, and now we're going to move on to the second biggest story of the week. What, no soundboard? Really? I'm so disappointed in you. 7/14/14. We were talking about it last week, what was going to happen. We knew it had something to do with Sting, and, well...
It did.
Yeah, it did. It had everything to do with Sting. If you watch Monday Night Raw, you saw the epicness that was the commercial featuring Sting with an orchestra playing his theme in Sting face paint, no less.
It was a great commercial. We talked about it on Monday, but yeah, it was a really well done commercial. And apparently, from what I hear, that was like $200,000.
It looked it. And you know what? It was completely worth it when you think about the orchestra and the lighting and the cameras and the makeup and the stunt doubles for Sting and Sting himself. Yeah.
That was pretty good. And it's left many people wondering, what's up with Sting? Is he coming to WWE?
Well, Sting has indicated that he would like to sign a WWE contract. He has not signed a contract as of yet. He is only under a WWE 2K14 deal right now. But he would like to sign one. WWE has released merchandise concerning him. He was in the commercial for the video game, by the way, in case you didn't know. Just to kind of finish up what we were talking about with the commercial, it was for the video game. Sting is going to be the featured performer for the game. There are going to be two different versions of him if you pre-order.
I've seen the picture. Have you seen the pictures?
I've seen the pictures.
You get the blonde hair, spiked the hair Sting from the late 80s, early 90s, and then you get the crow version of Sting, which is kind of awesome.
Yeah, it is kind of awesome. So, if you love Sting, if you love WCW... This is probably going to be the game for you, because was it? Luger had also tweeted out 7/14/14, and Honky Tonk Man did too.
Sid Vicious did.
Vicious, yeah.
So, yeah, it should be a fun game, and I can't wait to see what they do with Sting in the video game. A lot of WWE superstars were excited for him to be in the video game. There's a video on WWE.com about it. And videos on WWE.com include Triple H.
Where did he dork out?
No, where he does his weekly thing with Michael Cole, right? The whole state of the WWE weekly address thing, whatever. And his phrase was, "No one thought Bruno Sammartino would be in the WWE Hall of Fame. No one thought the Ultimate Warrior would be in the WWE Hall of Fame." So you never say never if Sting could come to WWE.
Oh, and that's 100% true, especially with the change of power going on with Vince kind of taking a step back. I mean, we all know that for a long time, the hindrance for a lot of guys and for a lot of problems was Vince. You know, where people either didn't want to work with him, they didn't want to deal with him, he had a bad reputation, they were mad at him, whatever. You know, a lot of guys always cited that Vince was the problem, and with Vince kind of stepping away, you now have Hunter coming in, and Hunter sort of making amends for a lot of things Vince has done or Vince has said, and that's how Hunter got Sammartino. I'm sure Hunter is involved in the Sting deal. I know Hunter was involved with Warrior.
He was heavily involved with Warrior. And we were speaking of Vince McMahon, and I have details on why Sting hasn't signed yet. I'll get to that in a second. But Vince McMahon, as of 6 hours ago, tweeted the following. Hashtag WWE2K15 with @Sting. Does art imitate life? So Vince McMahon, in quotations, is going out on Twitter saying, "Hey Sting, you want to come? You want to come and join the WWE for one time only? And we'll get... and." To talk about what Sting wants to do, he wants to fight The Undertaker.
He wants to make the dream match happen. And you know what? I think a lot of people would be okay with that. Me personally, not so much. Just because after this past WrestleMania, I just kind of want to see Taker just stay home. Because, yeah, after hearing about what he went through, especially after the match, yeah, no, honey, no. But, you know, that's my opinion on it. I mean, I know a lot of people want to see Taker staying. Personally, it doesn't do anything for me. I would be interested, though, to see what story they come up with it, especially since the streak is no longer a factor. Like, you'd have to book it really, really, really well. It can't just be Sting coming in and going, well, I want a challenge for the streak, because the streak doesn't exist anymore. It's gone. So now it's you actually have to come up with a story with a reason why Sting and Taker are fighting each other.
Right. On TMZ, Sting spoke to them. Hold on to your singlets, because Sting tells TMZ he wants to wrestle at WrestleMania, even though his new contract with WWE is just a video game deal. They changed that because that originally said PR deal. And he's even got an opponent in mind. Huge news considering the ex-WCW legend has never stepped inside a WWE ring before in his nearly 30-year career. Sting tells us he is pumped about his new business relationship with the McMahon family, which came together so Sting could be a playable character in the new video game. But he doesn't want his relationship to end there. Sting says if he wants to hammer out a deal so he can face off against The Undertaker WrestleMania 31 in March 2015. I thought it's April. But anyway, Sting adds, at my age, it's now or never. The wave is coming into the shore.
Hey, you know what? If that's what he wants to go for, I have no problem with that whatsoever. It's just I would like to see the story they would come up with, and personally, the match doesn't do anything for me, but if they can sell me on it,
by all means, sell us on it.
Yeah,
I would. I would think a guy like Randy Orton or John Cena would be a better opponent for Sting. Just throwing that one out.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's a whole literal roster of people Sting has never faced.
Yeah. So, but I think as guys who could carry Sting to a match, Sting versus Bray Wyatt, that'd be interesting.
That would be interesting, yeah.
little mind games right there. Both guys with mind games. But that's the story for another day. The deal on the table that was presented to Sting, which is why he hasn't signed, was a Legends deal for $10,000. That is the standard Legends contract. And Sting does not want to sign the standard $10,000. Hey, here's a Legend contract.
Right.
Because he knows, brother, what the other brother is getting, brother, and, well, kind of thinks his value is a little bit more than just that. And he wants probably control of anything he does outside of WWE like Hulk Hogan can do. So it's sort of one of those things where, okay, we're gonna wait our time and we're gonna get there. It looks like we're getting closer. There's Sting merchandise on WWE.com right now.
Well, I think they can do that because of their ownership of WCW. They can't put his name on anything, I don't think, because I believe he owns the rights to his name. But they can use the scorpion imagery, and they can use, obviously, the color scheme, and imply that it is, say that it is Sting merchandise without putting his name on it. And I'm sure he will see a cut of that, but in terms of merchandise, in terms of him going on the video game, that's all tied together. I don't think they're as close to a deal as people believe they are.
From what I've read and heard, yeah, they are. They're getting very close. It's a matter of if, or a matter of when, rather than if.
Okay.
They're getting very close to signing the deal, and they were in a bit of a rush. WWE gave the AOK to put him in the video game, but they were hoping to have him sign before this, and now they're kind of sort of making it now. Okay, the video game stuff's coming out, so we gotta get there faster. If that makes any sense. So the video game is now putting a little bit of pressure on WWE to make the deal with Sting.
Oh, obviously, yeah. You want him under contract by the time the game comes out, especially if he's gonna be the feature. That's sort of important.
It kinda is. Yeah, kind of is. 2K thought the deal was basically done, and that's why they went ahead and did all this expense for the commercial and stuff.
So. Well, you know what? They're almost there.
They're almost there. It's just a matter of when, not if. Sting will be in WWE, whether it's this year or the beginning of next year, he'll be there, and he'll probably be at WrestleMania. And they're in his, you know, California area.
They're in his neck of the woods, so yeah, it makes total sense to have Sting there. It makes total sense to have him on the card. And that would be Sting versus anybody, especially in the top tier. That would be a money match because people would pay to see it. But Sting versus Taker, for the majority, yeah, people would pay to see that.
People would pay to see that. They just don't realize, hey, Taker's kind of beat up and Sting's kind of beat up. That's all.
Yeah, so...
There's those sort of factors in there involved.
Yeah, but... So, best of luck to them. But moving on, Emma made her return to WWE TV on Main Event this past week.
She won, too.
Go, Emma!
She beat, Alicia Fox. No, not Alicia Fox. Cameron. She beat Cameron. With Naomi on commentary.
That's heating up.
We'll
get into that a little bit later. Also, big news coming out this week, the SummerSlam main event was spoiled. Again. For the second time. Because, you know, we all totally didn't know it was coming the first time.
Yeah, somewhere in Canada, I believe this was from, a video was released promoting this SummerSlam matchup between Brock Lesnar and John Cena, and everyone was like, some people were like, no, that's just footage from the last time they fought. No.
Mm-mm.
This one says 15-time WWE World Heavyweight Champion.
Yeah. It got leaked before Cena won. It won Money in the Bank that it was going to be Cena Brock at SummerSlam. Now the video footage has been leaked, so it's going to be kind of obvious who's probably winning on Sunday. Like, there was any doubt anyway.
Just anyone listening to this, don't tell anyone involved in TV Radio, like Rob or Subway.
Yeah, don't tell them. They don't listen to the show.
Because I know Subway may know that fact, but Rob probably doesn't, so let's not tell anyone. Because we're going to make picks and hopefully...
Should totally do a drive-by by Rob's house and yell out the window, John Cena's winning Sunday!
And he would cringe and not want to pick John Cena. Hey, you can do drive-bys. That is true.
Yeah, I could do a drive-by his house now. We live in the same state. Could totally make it happen.
Totally make it happen.
So, yeah. Again... Just had to put that out there because it's like it got spoiled, you know, again.
By the way, it's an awesome commercial.
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, it's fantastic.
You need to link me to it.
I'll link it to you during the break.
Okay. Also, big news coming out of WWE's recent tour of Japan. They made an official signing Kenta.
Yeah.
He did an in-ring signing at a house show with legendary manager Jimmy Hart and the WWE legend himself, Hulk Hogan.
They made a big deal. Hogan was big over in Japan when he went over. There were 100 photographers and stuff just waiting for him as he got off the plane.
Well, if you think about it, it's so rare he goes over there anymore.
And this is one of the things, this is one of the big things why WWE signed him up, is because he can go over there overseas and represent WWE. It's why TNA had him for a while. But he could never garner that attention because it's TNA. You have Hulk Hogan and WWE, just that big conglomerate right there. Yeah.
Well, if you think about it, WWE was probably advertising Hogan's appearance for months prior to him actually showing up.
At least 6 weeks, yes.
And so it's something of, and also they send out that presser to probably all the newspapers and everything saying, hey, Hulk Hogan is coming. Would you like to do press with him to get that buzz going? So they know how to market. They know how to advertise certain things.
Yeah, he did 8 press interviews and 2 video interviews. TV shows, actually. So... Yeah, so they made a big deal. Kenta has signed with WWE, and he will be heading to WWE NXT in the coming weeks and months ahead. And the whole one of the big reasons they signed Kenta is because now WWE NXT will be shown on a channel in Japan.
Never mind that he's a fantastic wrestler. Just pointing that out.
It's just how it helps further expand the WWE brand, and he's a great wrestler, and this will now help WWE get in Japan, build an audience.
Yes.
So it's one of those things where, okay.
Yes, Kenta gave an interview, and he was very excited. He's nervous about coming over. He's currently trying to secure housing in Orlando, but he's looking forward to the experience. He's not sure if his name is going to get changed, but he kind of gave some hints of what he might go with if they let him pick a name. I think one of them was Toyota.
I don't think he can use Toyota.
I don't think he can use Toyota, but it was so cute. So he will join Prince Devitt. Both are expected to be NXT by September.
I don't think he can use Ford. I don't think he can use Honda.
No. I hope they kind of let him keep Kenta. It's kind of a cool name.
I think they may be letting him use Kenta just because they're trying to establish that.
Because that's what he's known by in Japan, so...
So I would hope they keep him there. Because some guys you can change the name, blah, blah, blah. But some guys, if you're building... And he's coming right to NXT, and he probably will be there a few months, and then bam, on the roster. They have big plans for him.
Yeah. So definitely looking forward to seeing him debut.
I mean, you send Hulk Hogan over there. Of course they have some big plans for him.
Yes, of course. And you did the signing at a house show. I mean, come on.
Big house show, too, in Tokyo.
Yeah, they have big shows over there. That would be a fun one to go to.
So Bray should have stayed over there because, well, he came back home.
Well, I don't know. I think Bray Wyatt's taking it, all in stride. If you didn't hear, Bray Wyatt had a bit of a busy weekend this past weekend. He was over in Japan, and then he came back here to do a house show in Madison Square Garden, where, well, he had a little bit of a mishap, where his eye got cut open when he got in a little bit of a scuffle with the one and only, the Nature Boy himself, Mr. Woo, Ric Flair.
So what you're telling me is this. Boo-boo got a boo-boo?
Yes, boo-boo got a boo-boo. A big boo-boo required 7 stitches. He had a horrible gash. He was bleeding heavily. And, well, it looked nasty.
It did look nasty. So... He took it all in stride. A lot of people are amazed how he's handling it. He's very chill, laid back in the locker room. People are very proud of Bray Wyatt, how he's handling it. And it's a battle scar from Ric Flair. I don't think he's going to mind.
Yeah, I think his inner child is kind of going, oh my god, I just got roughed up by Ric Flair in Madison Square Garden. Holy crap.
So,
like, life made.
He had a promo exchange with Hulk Hogan and got a battle scar from Ric Flair in the last 6 months.
Yeah, not too shabby.
Kind of guys he looked up to probably growing up.
Yeah. Especially with his dad in WCW. Oh, yeah. And WWE, but yeah. Yeah. So, he's actually impressed a lot of people in the locker room, a lot of the veterans, with the way he's handling it. He's brushed it off. He's not having any problems with it. He's working through it. He's just, like Rock said, very chill about it. He's actually kind of excited about it. It's, again, he got a scar from Ric Flair. How many guys nowadays can say that?
Not many, because they don't let him get very physical at all.
No, so it's kind of a cool thing for him. But yeah, he's impressing a lot of people with the way he's handling it, which is always a good thing.
It is always a good thing. And by the way, for those just tuning in, you're listening to The Rock, like, right here, right now, on the Wild Talk Radio Network. She's Lindsay Ward. I'm Sarakin. Just wanted to catch people up.
Yes. And, well, speaking of catching up, Raw and SmackDown's pre- and post-shows may not be catching up anymore because, well, they might be going away.
Oh.
I know.
Like, I don't catch the SmackDown pre-show because that's just awkward, and especially for a quote-unquote tape show. It's just odd having pre-show for a tape show, but the post-shows are very fun, and you get backstage interviews, which are always cool, and the Raw pre-show was always fun, especially when it was in the building.
Yeah.
Because you heard the crowd, they were watching, you had superstars being taped behind them, which was always fun to see, and just watching Booker and Alex Riley react to what's happening in the ring when they're supposed to be looking straight ahead.
Yeah.
Which was always fun. I think that maybe part of the reason, besides cost-cutting, why they moved it back to the studio, which kind of seems, makes it look and seem a little bit awkward. If they had a real set, it may look been a little bit better, but that's still a work in progress. And it's going away, might be going away because of the budget cuts. They're going to keep the pre-show for the pay-per-views. No post-show this coming Sunday for the Battleground, like there was for there wasn't one for Money in the Bank either.
No.
But at least before they got rid of the pay-per-view post-show, we got a Bray Wyatt press conference.
I know. So, and we got Bo Dallas press conference too, which was amazing.
Yes, we did. So I hope they don't go away fully. I hope they tweak them a little bit.
You know, it's something that I like the post-shows better than the pre-shows. And I always thought the post-shows were much more entertaining just because you got fallout, you got reaction, you got to see things that you didn't normally see. And that's also true for the pre-shows, but it's like, you know, you're already hyped up for the show, you're excited to see it, and also, at least for the pre-shows, because Raw and SmackDown both start at 8, they came on at 7:30, it's kind of an awkward time, because, you know, a lot of people are eating dinner, or they're finishing up dinner, you know, depending on what time you eat, and also, you know, the further out west you go, obviously the earlier the show is. Like, for me, when I was living in Utah, it was at 5:30 in the afternoon.
A little bit awkward.
So yeah, I can understand why they would get rid of the pre-show, because it's just, it's at an awkward time. But I wish they would keep the post-shows, because the post-shows are always entertaining.
Yeah, I just hope they find a way to tweak it and maybe save a little money instead of, I guess you don't have to do them in studio post-show, you could do them backstage and that may save you a bit of money. They'll figure out a way, because that was one of the selling features for the network, so I hope they tweak it and bring it back in some sort of fashion.
I hope so, too. But speaking of tweaking, speaking of changes, and speaking of somebody who might be making a debut, we now have an update, because we're going to shift away from WWE, to Jeff Jarrett's Global Force Wrestling. Seems that Global Force Wrestling is reportedly talking with two cable networks right now, including one that has never aired pro wrestling before. It's been talking that GFW could debut on TV with some kind of reality TV or documentary show, and then that actually leads up to the premiere of the actual in-ring program itself.
A network that has never carried wrestling. CMT has carried wrestling. It was Hogan's Midget Wrestling, so that maybe knocks them out, unless you don't consider that wrestling. CMT probably is a factor. I'm kind of curious. That makes it, that's interesting. Maybe FXX, maybe? I don't know. I'm just throwing stuff out there and could be totally wrong. I'm just going off of networks that I know in the top of my head. Cool that there's an update. We kind of figured there was going to be a reality show. It's sort of been hinted at for a few weeks, months now, that there would be some sort of reality show that Jarrett and his wife are filming.
Right.
Leading up to the debut of the Global Force Wrestling program. So, hey, if they're filming a reality show, cool. A documentary would be cool, too. They've been putting out little videos, so I can see that sort of being, in, you know, worked in there in some fashion as well.
Yeah, and that would be really cool to see, especially if it's something concerning how they form the company and how they're steadily building it. I would definitely watch something like that, because that would be really interesting to see.
It would be. It really, really would be.
But on that note, I think we're going to take our first break
of
the evening.
Hold on. Got a couple TNA news items. Hold on.
Wait, what? You didn't tell me this.
I told you one of them.
When?
Earlier.
Earlier when?
You're going to make me tell you exactly when?
Had I already taken my cold pill?
I told you at, let's see, 8:39.
This morning?
This afternoon. Tonight. 2 hours ago. 2 hours ago. You said, okay. Anyway. Here's a couple TNA headlines, courtesy of TNAAsylum.com, the haven for TNA fans. Number one, tonight, as it is currently airing on Spike TV, Impact on Spike, the return of Six-Sided Ring, and everyone on Twitter is excited about this. It trended earlier this afternoon, Six-Sided's returns, or Six-Sided's is back, rather. It was trending, so that's big news for TNA, so they're hoping for a big rating tonight, because a lot of people are interested in the program, which is cool. And when the stars of Impact Wrestling, Bobby Lashley, you know, the TNA World Heavyweight Champion, he's returning to MMA on September 5th, as he will be fighting for Bellator. He's making his debut in Bellator against Josh Burns. Many are wondering, will Bobby Lashley be the TNA World Champion heading into this fight, though?
Yeah, that's kind of a little awkward if he's their champion and he's doing an MMA fight.
Especially if he loses.
Yeah, that could be, that would be bad.
This guy, Josh Burns, is 8-7 from what I've heard. He's not the greatest of MMA fighter. He's sort of a guy that Bobby Lashley should handle if he can beat him in the first round.
The question is he better than Butterball?
Who's Butterball? You mean Butterbean?
No, Butterball, the guy that Dave Bautista made his
name. Oh, that guy. Oh, that guy. yeah, he's better than him.
Okay.
Bellator doesn't bring that kind of crappy fighter to their ring. So, yeah, it'd be interesting if Lashley holds the title. And if he loses as TNA World Heavyweight Champion, and since they're making him a monster on TV, that might be a little bit awkward.
Yeah, Bobby, go kill.
Bobby, kill.
Now! Bobby, crush!
Well, that whole situation is probably awkward right now. Just pointing that one out.
Why would that be awkward?
No, the Rusev crush and what happened this afternoon.
What happened this afternoon?
The plane.
Oh, right. Right. Yeah.
Might be a little awkward situation now. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later after the show. By the way, condolences to everybody involved in that. Best wishes to the families.
Yes.
If you don't know what we're talking about, Google it. It's everywhere if you haven't heard. So just, you'll figure it out. But on that note, now can we take our first break of the evening?
Yes, and this is where we're playing the Sting music.
Okay. So you're listening to The Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com. And when we come back, we're going to be talking all about tonight's exciting NXT. We're going to fill you in on what happened, who won, and who lost. So stay tuned. Just listen to The Rack, and we will be right back.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com. And you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
This is Cigarette Butts and Bandanas.
Anyway, with that being said, you've been listening to Cigarette Butts and Bandanas.
Wait, hold on. Let me.
Why do you always get to end it, goddammit? You are the producer, goddammit. You're not the host of the show. Will is the producer of the show. Producer's the show.
Shut up. For the trunk, Rob Parks.
Why does Rob Parks do it? We waited forever for Rob to come back, and now you're not even going to let him have the outro?
Okay, let Rob.
Okay, come on. I dressed up for this show. God damn it. You know how hard it is to find a wife beater in my size? For William S. McConnell, and for, unfortunately, the lone jobber, and for the lone producer who doesn't do really much.
Oh, wait, what?
I am your host with the most, the godfather of extreme, Big... Wow. I insulted myself real bad. Wow. Alright, oh, everyone who was listening to that, forget about it now.
Forget.
Wow. God damn it, Jobber.
What'd I do?
Hi. I'm Rob. Your godfather tree. For whoever the hell Big Daddy Ace was.
Ace!
Whether you're a badass, a godfather, or something in between, the answer is Cigarette Butts and Bandanas, live, midnight Eastern Time, or as close as we can get, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
Hey, Wild Talk Radio, this is New York Times best-selling author Brian Shield.
The greatest professional athlete in the world today. Look at this. He's having a goal. I don't believe it.
And my new book, 30 Years of WrestleMania, is coming out September 15th.
The spectacle that is WrestleMania. This is it.
Pre-order it now wherever books are sold.
Here we go. Once in a lifetime.
Looking for the latest in all things TNA Wrestling? Then look no further than TNAsylum.com. TNAsylum keeps you up to date on all the happenings in TNA Wrestling, along with featured columns, full coverage of TNA-related events, and a first look on the behind-the-scenes events of TNA that you can't find anywhere else. Log on right now to the haven for TNA fans, TNAsylum.com.
The evolution of online sports entertainment. Wrestle Talk Radio is back.
Yes!
I know. The show hasn't gone anywhere. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying WrestleTalkRadio.com is back.
Yes!
Visit all the new historical WrestleTalkRadio.com to learn about the history of the show and hear shows from the past that you never thought you would ever hear again.
Yes!
Plus, you can now follow the show on Twitter at WTR Sunday Night.
What?
Like us on Facebook.
What?
Go to Facebook.com/WrestleTalkRadio.
Yes!
Once again, visit the all-new WrestleTalkRadio.com today.
Yes!
Will you stop that?
No!
Cut it out!
No!
I've got cookies.
Maybe.
I came to play. There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your
knees. What's up? This is WWE Superstar The Miz, and you are listening to Wild Talk Radio Network, and it is awesome.
Right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Of course, it's Lindsay Ward, and still with me is Sir Rockin' at the controls, and generally being my co-host. most of the time.
Yeah, most of the time. Well, all the time. Because it's party time all the time.
That's right. Now we're getting ready to jump right in tonight, into tonight's, if I could talk. Sorry, I'm still battling a sinus infection. Jump right into tonight's exciting NXT, which is, of course, brought to you by our wonderful, wonderful sponsor, Wrestling Figure Wednesdays, youtube.com/MBG1211. If my mind could process. Yay! Screwed up the show! Yay!
She's hard on herself.
Just a little bit. It's been a rough week.
So we had a fun and exciting edition of NXT, as you mentioned, and our new favorite tag team started off the show, Lindsay.
Yes, yes. In match number one of the evening, you saw Enzo Amore and Big Cass Colin Cassidy taking on the Vaudevillains, Aiden English, and the bee's knees himself, Simon Gotch.
They tweaked their intro.
They did! They have a little guy that comes out and announces him now. It's so cute.
Yeah, it was a nice little change-up on the video. It was really, really cool. I liked it. I liked the change. This match wasn't really much of a match. You had Gotch and English start out a little bit. And then you had Cass and one more get into it. The one thing I noticed about Amore, because I haven't really seen much of him, he's a small dude with very big pants.
Yeah, he has very baggy pants.
Yeah. The finish saw the Legionnaires, that's their tag team name?
Yes.
They showed up and distracted Cassidy and Amore as Gotch rolled up Big Cass for the victory. The Vaudevillains win.
Those dirty Frenchmen. I swear.
Can never, ever trust the French.
Nope, never.
Never.
After the match, there were some words between the Legionnaires and Cassidy and Amore. We then have, you know, Tom mentioned that you have to go through the likes of the Ascension to even win the titles. And that's where we get a promo backstage with Connor and Victor, where Connor says that a lot of teams think they can challenge for the titles. Victor says that as long as you set your sights on the titles, you are fooling yourselves. Against the Ascensions, you will always be the hunted.
But before you continue on, I want to go back to the opener for a second.
Okay.
So we're having the French battle the Italians, I guess?
Yes. Italian-Americans.
Italian-Americans versus the French. Italy versus France. Okay. Just wanted to point that one out. Anyway,
you're not going World Cup on me.
No. Oh, God, no. Oh, God, no.
Okay. Good match.
By the way, thank God the World Cup is over. Just point that one out. Hashtag don't like soccer. Don't get soccer. Played soccer, like, 20 years ago. Still don't like it.
Oh, I have to tell you a funny story real quick, and then we'll get back to NXT. So my mom and I were at dinner last week, and she was like, they had the World Cup on, right? And she's like, that soccer tournament's still going on? And I was like, yeah, it lasts a month. She's like, a month?
Yeah, and it's spread out so long, and it's like, I can sit there, and I put the game on, and I watch, turn on the final game on this thing, and I missed the first 92 minutes. Nothing happened in the first 92 minutes, and even though the game's only 90 minutes long, nothing happened in 92 minutes, and nothing happened for 112 minutes.
Then you obviously didn't watch the game where the guy got bit.
No, I did not see the game the guy got bit. I did see the video. But no, nothing happened, and like, oh my God, he scores! Game over. No, there's still time left. What do you mean there's still time left? In the extra time and anything else, once they score, it's over. Not in soccer, it just keeps going.
Yeah, so. Anyway, moving back to NXT.
hashtag soccer talk on the rack.
Hashtag tangents.
and that's where they play that horn thing. But,
horn thing, you know. Which, hashtag ban the horn.
Hashtag horn banned.
Whatever.
So many different hashtags.
He's going to yell at us anyway, so...
Yeah, he will. When he hears this, he will yell at us or tweet us repeatedly.
Which is, nah, 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 you're not getting your horn back.
unless it comes from Christian.
Ooh! Anyway, good opener. Sorry for the segue tangents.
No, we're not.
We're teasing someone.
No, we're not.
He knows who he is.
We're not.
He's
sorry.
Not sorry.
And neither are you.
No, not really. I feel no shame here. Good opener. One comment on the promo by the Ascension. Don't let Connor talk. Just have him stand there and glare menacingly at the camera. That's all he needs to do between the two of them. Let Victor do the talking, okay? Victor is a little bit more eloquent than Connor. Just pointing that out. Like, Connor's standing there talking, and I'm like, oh, this is not going to work. This is so not going to work. It's like, either get him a manager, or just let Victor talk.
Right.
Just, you know, pointing that out. Anyway, we come back from commercial, and, you know, we see a recap regarding the BFFs, and how that breakup all went down. We also see that Summer Rae will get her shot at the NXT Women's title next week in Charlotte. That should be a good match.
That should be good. I'm looking forward to that. It should be fun.
And this should be fun. And then we lead into match number two, which is Xavier Woods versus Mr. Man Pennies himself, CJ Parker.
Just keep going. She made me laugh earlier. I can't stop laughing now.
I'm sorry, it looks like he's wearing man panties, especially since he's got him, like, cinched up, and, you know, he wears the belt. He doesn't wear them like normal wrestling trunks, so they look like man panties. I'm sorry. With a big old peace sign, like, right on his ass.
Well, then he's a peace... I don't know, keep going.
Anyway, the two lock up, and they go around the ring with Woods giving, you know, getting a clean break. They lock up again, and Parker goes in with a side headlock, Woods with a top wrist lock, and into a waist lock, Parker with a back elbow. There was a lot of back and forth. Woods hit a leapfrog. There was a drop kick for a near fall. Woods went to chop Parker, and it was followed up by a wrist lock. Basically, again, more back and forth. Basically, Parker then hit an Irish whip on Woods. He tried to slide to the floor, but Woods hit the bottom rope. Yeah, I'm not reading all this. Screw this.
Yeah, hold on. I got a couple things. Cause I took
yeah,
some
a couple things.
It took a couple minutes. One, Xavier Woods has his music back.
Yes.
Which is good to see. And I'm going to let you comment on this. Tom Phillips said that CJ Parker is following the footsteps of Ronald Reagan and Oprah Winfrey.
What?
Yeah.
No.
He's trying to help change the world like they did.
No, not the same message.
No, not really, no. Anyway, Woods made his comeback, hard shots and a big kick, followed by a jumping DDT, which was very, very nice.
That was nice.
For a long two count, Woods missed the crossbody. Parker went for a kick, ducked. Woods sent him into the ropes. Parker sat down on the rollback, got the pin as he was actually trying to cheat and use the ropes, so CJ Parker picked up the win, and they were trying, like, he was using the ropes, and he was clearly about 6 inches away.
Yeah, he was reaching for the ropes, but he, you know, if anything, he brushed them really briefly, but he didn't use the ropes.
He was trying to.
He was trying to, but he wasn't close enough.
No, he really wasn't. I think that was supposed to be the finish. I'm trying to get there, I just can't get there quite. No.
Good try, though.
Good try.
You know, loosen your belt and lower your man panties a little bit, and then you might be able to reach.
No, don't lower your man panties, because then if they're that small, we would see a lot more of him that we probably don't want to see.
I just want him to do the ass wiggle again. What?
Yeah, ass wiggle and the man panties. All right, there you go.
I'm a girl. Deal with it.
I deal with it every single day. You know this?
Yeah, I know. Anyway, we come back from commercial, and Devin Taylor is with Sami Zayn. She asked him about his match against Tyson Kidd, and Sami says that ever since Tyson appeared on NXT, we're seeing more of his true personality come out. We see the conceited, self-absorbed, chauvinistic coward, the Tyson Kidd who is overshadowed by his wife. Sami says that he's going to embarrass him tonight. And then we have the little fairy, the little cupcake, whatever you want to term her, Alexa Bliss, talking smack.
She did talk some smack. She talked about how Banks couldn't handle her bling, basically. And on the estimated her because of her height, how small she is. She's very tiny. So, there you go.
Yeah, and basically she said that we're going to see lightning strike twice. Which leads to match number 3 of the evening, Alexa Bliss taking on Sasha Banks.
Bliss went for roll-ups really quick. Quick roll right out of the gate. And then another one right out of the gate with a small package. He was really trying to get the quick win. Banks was able to take control, toss her to the mat, just start pulling on her hair. Banks trapped Bliss in the ropes, which was nice, and then dropped a big double knee right into the chest. Went, ow!
Yeah.
The fans started chanting, Alexa! No, I should say, Banks started taunting the crowd by chanting, Alexa! Alexa! Which was a nice heel tactic. Bliss fights back with hard forearms. Bliss flipped over the top rope, came back with a nice dropkick. Banks, though, was able to hit the backcracker and then the modified crossface for the victory as Alexa Bliss tapped out to Sasha Banks. So the boss was in charge tonight.
Yes. The boss did her job, and she beats Alexa Bliss.
Good match. I like this
Very
match.
Very good match.
Good stuff. You could see Alexa Bliss is improving. So is Sasha. They're both on the rise in the NXT women's roster.
I'm okay with this.
I am as well.
Anyway, backstage we see Devin Taylor talking to Tyler Breeze. She's wanting to know when he's going to face Adrian Neville for the NXT title. Tyler says that everyone rushes, you know, to the supermarket for the best deal. He says that, you know, he likes to take his time. The Versace mansion wasn't built in a day. Tyler says that he suffered a hand modeling accident, and that Tyler says his agent was drawing up the contract for his match with Neville. Tyler says that everyone knows that contracts are not put together in a few hours, and Tyler, though he wants to make it up to us, so he has us watch his video, which I was seriously not ready for. Because I sat here and laughed at the whole damn thing. Again. Because he's like, yeah, here, watch my music video.
Look at this guy!
Look, everyone! It's Tyler!
Is it my eyes when you look at me? They are so gorgeous. They'll set you free. Could it be my walk or just my stare that makes you freeze when I appear? Super good looking.
Yeah, it's pretty much how it happened, where he's like, here, have my video, and then I proceeded to laugh for like 10 minutes. It was great.
It was.
It was. But, you know, after we see Tyler's video and kind of recover from it, we take a look back at a replay of the end of the tag match from last week. And then we see, you know, Natalya, and they were asking her about, you know, how she felt with Sami coming to her aid as opposed to her husband. She didn't want to talk about it. And then we see Devin with Tyson Kidd. They're in the interview area, and she asked about last week. Tyson says that she's wasting his time by asking about his wife and his family when she talks to Sami later, which she actually talked to him earlier. She won't ask about his family. The fact is that he beat Sami last week. Natalya is a former Divas champion and she can take care of herself. When he beats Sami tonight, it won't be an accident. It'll be a... There you go.
Making her cough up a long because of playing the word.
Yes. You gotta warn me, dude. You gotta tell me you're gonna do that and then I'll actually pause.
No, it's fun. It's a lot more fun... this way.
Anyway, Jason Jordan is in the Goldman box, and he says that he heard that Ty Dillinger is injured. Aww. And the last time he was seen, he was partying with some Rosebuds. So this leads to match number 4 of the evening, Adam Rose taking on Jason Jordan.
We had Rose leap into the arms of Jason Jordan. He parties! Yay! Hits him with a headlock. Rose then put his ass in the face of Jordan. Jordan didn't like that. He started hammering it with hard attacks in the corner afterwards. He had a nice Northern Light suplex for a long 2 count. Rose made his comeback, hard shots, atomic drop, neck breaker. Then his choo-choo train sort of modified Bronco Buster without the Broncoing. And then hit the party foul for the victory. The party continues. Everyone is excited. So are the Rosebuds. Party time. All the time. Adam Rose. Hashtag Rosebud.
And Gladiator Guy was back. I was so happy.
Gladiator Guy was indeed back.
Gladiator Guy and Captain Comic and all the Rosebuds that we know and love. They were there in NXT. It was great to see them.
Good stuff.
Very good stuff. Clearly, Jason Jordan is not comfortable with being felt up.
No, no. But hold on. One other thing, because I wrote this down. Regal is Rose's number one strawberry.
Yes, he is. William Regal is in love with Adam Rose. Mm-hmm. It's kind of adorable.
I want one day William Regal to be one of the Rosebuds.
It's going to happen. Just wait for it. It's going to happen. They're going to do a backstage segment. We're going to see William Regal partying with Adam Rose. It's going to be fantastic.
It would be fantastic.
Backstage, we see Devon Taylor with Kalisto. She asks Kalisto about his time in NXT and his shot at the tag team titles and his match against Tyler Breeze. Kalisto says that, you know, he doesn't want to talk about his losses. He wants to talk about his future victories. Okay, cool. Stay positive, dude. Then, well, he gets interrupted, and the VOD villains show up. They want to know where Kalisto's tag team partner is. And he says that he and El Locale parted ways.
Aww.
And he will find a tag team partner to face them next week. And then he asks if they're speechless. Because, well, the VOD villains were using signs, because they're doing the whole black and white gimmick, and they don't talk. Because it's vaudeville. Silent film. And, well, Kalisto took a little shot.
Yeah. Oh, well, that reminds me. I gotta go. We're going back all the way to the beginning of the show really quick.
Uh-huh.
When they do the graphic to introduce them with the whatever the hell you want to call it, where they put their names up on the screen, that needs to be in black and white, not in black and gold. It needs to blend in with the whole black and white theme. It sort of was like, huh, oh, that's in color, but they're in black and white. That should all be in black and white. Little nitpick, just pointing that out.
I'd have to go back and watch it just to see if they did that to make it pop against...
That's what they did. That's exactly what they did, but I think it would fit for the gimmick. It should be in black and white.
I'd have to go back and see it again, but...
Actually, technically, they should just come up with some sort of different font and just write it on the screen.
You would think, but eh.
I'm just throwing things out there.
I kept trying to figure out if the announcer guy was Mojo Rawley.
I don't think so.
Go back and watch it, because I think it was him.
I'll have to do that. Anyway, main event time.
Main event time, we see Sami Zayn taking on Tyson Kidd in a really good match.
This was a really good match. Kidd was frustrating Zayn early on in the matchup. Every time he would go after him, Kidd would duck out of the ring. We had fans chanting, Natty's husband. Kidd goes for a headlock, got pushed off. Sami went for a right hand. Kidd again ducked out of the ring. Kidd again is still frustrating Sami Zayn. Kidd finally gets in the ring, eats a clothesline and a backdrop from Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn went for a kick, and Kidd ducked again. This time, Zayn goes after Kidd on the outside, but Kidd kicked him right in the face and hit a nice suplex on the ramp as we went to commercial break. And when we come back, Kidd is hammering away on Sami in the corner after he had him in a headlock with hard shots. Ties him up in the trio woe, hit a nice running dropkick. Kidd locked in the headlock, wearing him down. Zayn makes his comeback with a nice dropkick. And this time, Kidd rolled out again. A sight moonsault by Sami Zayn onto Tyson Kidd. Zayn goes to the top rope, cross body, 2 count. Kidd with a leg drop across the head of Sami Zayn as he was on the bottom rope was for a 2 count. Both men going back and forth, trying to go behind each other. Kid eventually went for a hit. It connected with a German suplex, which was nice for a two count. Kid would end up missing the Big Elmo. Zane hit the Blue Thunderbomb. Thought he had a two count. No, he got up. Kid hit the Blockbuster. Thinks he has Sami Zayn. One, two, three. No, kick out by Sami Zayn. Kid goes for a sharpshooter, gets shoved off, rolls through, locks it in. Sami is crawling. He's trying to fight to the ropes. Finally, after a couple minutes, gets there. Kid goes back up to the top rope, goes for the Blockbuster, gets caught, gets taken down. I believe it's the Koji Clutch, as they're calling it. Sami Zayn makes Tyson Kidd tap out in a great main event.
Mm-hmm.
This was a really good main event on NXT Night. And it's Sami Zayn and Tyson Kidd. If it sucked, you would be really, really surprised. Just pointing that one out.
Yeah, these two mix really, really well together.
So, good show overall. I like the progression of the Tyson Kidd, Sami Zayn storyline. I like that we got to see some of the Vaude villains. I like I put focus on Tyler Breeze because he is the number one contender. I would like to see a little bit more with the girls, but I think that's when we're coming because we get the title match next week. I could do without the man panties every week, but I'm understanding where they're going. So overall, good show. I like they're going to be focusing more on tag teams here in the coming weeks, so that should be fun.
Yeah, that should be fun. I think we're going to see some buzzards circling NXT as well.
I don't know if they're actually making it to TV, but they were at the tapings tonight.
Yeah, they were at the tapings tonight. They're probably going to cut a promo.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, they're probably going to have them doing a promo. And they probably did something off TV, but yeah. So there are some buzzards in NXT tonight, but overall, I really like the show. I like that they're building up the tag teams. I really do love the Vaude villains. I think they're pretty awesome. I would have actually liked to see more between Charlotte and Summer.
Yeah, a little bit something to build up to the match.
Yeah, but I think they're going to do that probably next week. That'll be the heavy focus of the show since it is a title match. So we'll just have to see how that goes. But yeah, overall, very good show, very enjoyable, as always, from NXT.
Good stuff tonight, good stuff. It was a quick hour, and then they actually went really long this week. They went 50-something minutes, which they usually go about 48, 49. So they went pretty long with the main event. So good stuff. I like the show tonight.
Yeah, very good. So on that note, we're going to take our second break of the evening.
Final break, too.
Yes, final break. And when we come back, we're going to have Tweet of the Week. We're going to be talking about Battleground. And, well, we've got our question tonight, which is, of course, who would you like The Rock to face at WrestleMania 31? So you're listening to The Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back. Slow it down, slow it down. She wants a ring, she's slamming the door. Up there, but don't cry, what you in a hurry for? Slow it down, slow it down.
What's up, bitches? This is the Boston Badass, a.k.a. the Big Time Player, a.k.a. the Resident Masshole, or just simply, Ace. I'm here to tell you about a way for you to find out about all the unusual things we have done over the years, and trust me, we have done a lot of unusual things over the past few years. Everything from bitches to crossing highways to strange ramblings by subway that no one ever really understands. Sex toys, which of course includes the blue dildo, and even the time, well, times I got pissed face drunk on this. Really, Rock? We're gonna really talk about that? Fuck you. You can relive all the excitement of your only excuse to be home on a Saturday night, CB Radio, by visiting our official website at cbradio.ewazone.com. That's once again, cbradio.ewazone.com. Don't be a bitch ass. Visit the site and listen every Saturday night. About midnight, sometimes it starts about 12:30-ish, you know, Eastern time. Just to find out what possibly we can come up with next.
Looking for one of the most popular stop-motion animation wrestling shows on the internet today? Then check out Crash Collision Wrestling, created by the one and only Matt Goldberg. He's the director of Terrified and Pope Against All Odds. TCW is a stop-motion animation series featuring WWE and TNA stars, and it also happens to be endorsed by the likes of Elijah Burke, Hulk Hogan, and TNA Knockout Tara.
This is Tara from Impact Wrestling, and for the number one animated wrestling show, make sure you check out Crash Collision Wrestling, or else get slammed by moi.
Check out the show by logging on to youtube.com/mbg1211, and don't forget to like Crash Collision Wrestling on Facebook. Once again, check out Crash Collision Wrestling today.
Because everybody knows, much like Pope, CCW is pimping.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air. Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR wherever you are.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
It's boots to asses time.
From the big returns.
You got it! You got to be kidding me! I see a ghost! Jarvis! Jake the Snake Roberts! What on earth? I got chills out of here!
To the shocking moments.
In case you haven't figured it out yet, what I do better than anybody is a gap. Last night was plan A. Tonight, plan B. There's always a plan B.
Oh my God! Are you kidding me? Rollins down hit the Dusty Ambrose after he took out Reigns!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
He's got the whole.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio. Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
Welcome back to The Ref right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you, of course, by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. That's right, YouTube.com/MBG1211. If you're just joining us, I'm Lindsay Ward. He's Rock. And now we're going to go right into Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter. I until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
My tweet of the week is that Simon Gotch favorited one of mine.
That's the only tweet you have?
That's the only tweet I have, because I forgot to go out and get some.
What was the tweet?
What was the tweet?
Yeah, if you're going to say it was favored by Simon Gotch, you might as well tell the people what it is.
The Vaudevillains at Gotch Style WWE is the bee's knees.
Well done.
Thank you.
All right, so this is an all-me tweet of the week edition?
This is an all-you tweet of the week.
Good, because I have a lot.
Good.
Neil Slotkin goes, LeBron back to Cleveland, great for the 76ers. Cavs won't steal first overall draft pick next year. Hashtag Sixers talk. Good choice by LeBron. Who would want to live in South Beach anyways? Cleveland is where it's at. That's from Drunk Roger Goodell. Frank Caliendo, hey, remember me? I played in Cleveland too. I need to do something crazy. Johnny Manziel, hashtag LeBron. Not SportsCenter. Tonight on SportsCenter, just live from Cleveland, where we say LeBron and Manziel over and over and over and over until your ears bleed. Yeah, that's what they do. They just talk about Johnny Manziel and LeBron nonstop lately. Andrew Goldstein, right now Miami residents are so brokenhearted, mostly because they have serious heart conditions and high blood pressure. Ouch. ProWrestling.net, my six-year-old dog, Ada. Daddy, does this mean Dan Gilbert is still a douche? Yes, he is, girl. Yes, he is. The owner of the Cleveland Cavaliers is still a douche, because he put out that letter about LeBron James four years ago when he left on the decision, and finally only took it down about a week ago before he signed him. Gregory Iron, LeBron's back. Can't wait for the bandwagon jumpers in the Cleveland to put their LeBron jerseys back. Oh, wait. You burnt them in a fire. Mark Long from Real World Fame. Breaking news, I'll be returning to Chipotle in about an hour. Hashtag LeBron. Craig Gass. LeBron announces he's returning to Cleveland, unaware that people of Cleveland burned the city down when he screwed them years ago. It's an AP story. Dolph Ziggler. Hey gang, I moved to Florida once just to get away and see what it's like to date a mother/daughter combo. Hashtag LeBron is back. Armando Estrada replied to Heel Ziggler, I heard Shaker Heights is naming a street after you. Hashtag Heel Boulevard. Hillary Fair, from, which one is she from?
Love it or list it.
She replies to the whole CM Punk thing, are you sure that's what's going on? Hashtag been wondering. Someone else replied, love it or list it, Punk edition? Would heart to see that. She replied, me too.
Hillary versus Punk. Oh, Jesus.
I kind of want to see that. By the way, Lindsay has me addicted to HGTV. Just pointing that one out.
Yep.
I still have an episode of Property Brothers on the DVR.
It's an awesome show.
It is an awesome show. Just pointing that fact out. Anyway, he replied, I would both love it and list it because I am magical. Everyone is happy, says CM Punk. And AJ Lee replied, this is the best thing Twitter has ever given me.
I'm with you, AJ. I'm with you. I think we all are.
So, speaking of AJ, she tweeted, just saw a toddler proudly scream in his mother's face, I pooped! So basically, my ovaries are glowing now. And CM Punk replied, I'm 35. I love that they're tweeting each other now. It's awesome.
And you know they're probably sitting next to each other.
Yeah, so like other people sit on a Skype call and just tweet each other.
Because, you know, we never do that at all.
Ever, especially in Twitter, Tumblr, or Facebook. Anyway, vacant goes. If this rain continues, I may win the MLB Home Run Derby tonight. Hashtag rain delay. Hashtag roll. Lance Storm, they say wrestling is best when it's reality-based. So heel Ziggler ends up with the ladies? Hashtag roll.
Alright.
Rockstar, Vince Russo tweeted, man, could this show use some spud? Rockstar Spud replied, I'm sorry, but Madam TNA Dixie has me tied down for many years. Hashtag best for business. These are rejected Weird Al songs. Stairway to 7-Eleven. It's the end of the World of Warcraft. From Buddy Fucking White, Love Me Tinder. The Impossible Meme. She Blinded Me with Scientology. From Dolph Ziggler, What Does the Fox News Sway? Hit Me with Your Pet Shark? Let's see. Tyler, Inagata DeVito? Dolph Ziggler, no, I'm pretty sure it says, so flyless. Puts on sunglasses, taps light up shoes, gets tackled by the TSA, lights break, cries. And finally, this is a conversation between the Phoenix Suns and the 76ers on Twitter. Hey, at Sixers, we're disappointed this guy didn't make this summer league roster. Seen his demo reel for 20 plus years now. It was a picture of Will Smith, you know, in the credits of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. The Sixers replied, we think his mom wanted him to focus more on his studies than his b-balling. Hashtag parents just don't understand. Phoenix Suns replied, the city of Philly lost in the trade when his mom sent him to Bel Air. And they replied, you're telling us, it took us 23 years to fill the void. Because we have this guy with no one's Noel. He has the big afro, straight up hair like Will Smith did. It's kind of awesome. And they replied, hashtag well played. A couple more. Jim Cornette, new rules. When you send an email to the wrong person that confirms you're doing stuff you're denying you're doing, it proves you're an idiot. For those unaware, I finish Tweet a Week, because I got a couple more, there's a story we never got to, and kind of an interesting story. Did you hear about the story about Vince Russo?
That he's been suffering from depression?
No.
Oh, what?
So, Vince Russo is working for TNA. He's working as a consultant. He's been denying this for, like, ever. He's working with the announcers, telling them what to say on TV.
Right.
So, he mistakenly, as he sent out the note to Taz and Mike Tanay, he accidentally copied PW Insider reporter Mike Johnson onto this email.
Oh, no.
Yeah, yeah. So Mike Johnson reported it, right? And then
right.
Vince Russo was saying, that's not true, and it's this big swerve. They will believe everything. And then they finally had to prove him that, like, they had to out him that he did, in fact, send the email. And then Vince Russo had to apologize and actually come out on his website and basically say, yeah, I'm working with TNA and I'm supposed to be keep hidden and stuff like that. He's working with the announcers.
Well, it's not like we all didn't know.
No, but he accidentally went for like 3 hours saying, it's a swerve, nothing, don't believe it, they're always reporting false things, and then had to actually own up to it all. So that's why Jim Cornette responded with that. Because, you know, he takes any shot he can at Vince Russo. Apparently, and Vince Russo wanted to bury the hatchet with Jim Cornette, which is funny on Twitter. Anyway, continuing on. Renee Young, I feel like I'm finally ready to go on Price is Right. Chris Jericho replied, beware, that Bob Barker's a real jerk. She replied, ha ha, bring it. And finally, WWE Creative Humor. WWE Creative _ ish. No, Ric Flair did not take the World Heavyweight title. How do we know? Because it isn't for sale online. Hashtag kayfabe.
Ouch.
That was Tweet of the Week.
All right, well, now we're going to move on. We're going to talk Battleground a little bit later in the show. Now we're going to move on to our question of the night, which ties into another discussion that he and I have been wanting to have, and it surrounds an interview that The Rock did with, I believe, Michelle Beadle.
On Sports Nation on ESPN, too, yesterday.
Yeah. So this is where this is all kind of coming from. And it's, who would you like The Rock to face at WrestleMania 31?
We had everyone from Roman Reigns to The Undertaker to... we had one person say John Cena. Mace chimed in with the Battle of the Part-Timers. Chris Jericho versus Batista versus The Rock. I think he threw Rob Van Dam in there as well. Yeah. Anyway. We'll get to who we want to see him fight in a minute. And that leads to the second part of the discussion, which was...
The Rock versus Blank at WrestleMania 31, who would be his ideal opponent? Now, if you didn't see the interview, part of the interview was Michelle Beadle was asking him about him potentially coming back at WrestleMania 31 and who he would really like to fight. And The Rock mentioned that a lot of names were being thrown up in the air. He had been kind of keeping his eye on things. And he did mention his cousin Roman Reigns. He would really like to fight him. He also threw out the name Wyatt Bray.
Bray Wyatt.
He tried.
He gave us a pub.
He also said Brock Lesnar. I believe he said he wouldn't mind mixing up with Cena one more time.
But Brock Lesnar was the guy. Before we get into the WrestleMania 31, let's go back to WrestleMania 30. And this ties everything together. The original.
You're making me rant, aren't you?
Yes, I am. The original idea for WrestleMania 30, as we all figured right after WrestleMania 29, they were supposed to set up an angle, a year-long feud between The Rock and Brock Lesnar. With the fighting at WrestleMania 30. Well, during the match with John Cena, The Rock really tore up his insides, had surgery and stuff, and that's sort of been holding him off on why he hasn't come back, really, one, because he got injured. So, since The Rock didn't fight Brock, so Brock had to fight Taker, and Brock beat The Thing, ended The Thing, because The Rock got hurt and couldn't do the angle on the Monday after WrestleMania. And in the end, that means John Cena is the one who injured The Rock. So, in reality, whose fault is the streak ended was John Cena.
And The Rock's.
And The Rock.
Yeah. Had The Rock been healthy and been able to fight Brock Lesnar, then Taker would have never faced Brock Lesnar, and the streak probably never would have ended.
Probably not. One injury changes the course of wrestling history.
It's all your fault, Dwayne. All your fault. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, it's your fault, John Cena. Anyway.
Looking at you, John. Looking at you.
Yeah, Mr. Make-A-Wish. You broke this girl's heart when you ended the streak.
You made me cry.
You're all about charity, John. You made her cry because you injured the...
You beat my boo-boo, and then you cost my Taker the streak.
How dare you, sir? How dare you?
Go to your corner.
Now.
Now. And you can't take Nikki with you. Anyway.
Only if you marry her.
Yeah, because that's going to happen.
So Nikki's not going to the corner with John. Anyway, no. going back to WrestleMania 31 and possible matchup for The Rock, Bray Wyatt was brought up. I kind of find that interesting.
They would have to find the right story. But if you book it right, it could be a really intriguing match, because one of the things, kind of Bray's MO right now, is taking down heroes, or false heroes. He tried with John Cena. He's trying with Chris Jericho right now. To have Bray Wyatt go after The Rock, who's really the epitome of a wrestling hero. He is the keystone of the Attitude Era.
He's the people's champion.
He's the people's champion. He is the face of the WWE, even now. Years later, when you mention WWE, people still say The Rock. They still say Stone Cold, and they still say John Cena, but The Rock is still remembered. He is just that. He would be that first step for Bray into the legend category.
Yeah.
And for Bray Wyatt to defeat a legend of The Rock's caliber at WrestleMania, that would put him over the moon in terms of that would cement him as a main eventer.
It would. Now, for definitely for life. NWO for life. When you go with Roman Reigns, the one problem with Roman Reigns right now, and they could tell us a good story because they're cousins and whatever, but I don't think that translates big time. I don't think there's that. It would be a couple years away that Roman. I think Roman Reigns is a couple years away from being the guy, the man in the company to, you know, carry things and be on the level of a Rock for a type of match. And even then, I don't think he has the mic skills to carry a feud with The Rock. Because Roman's very soft spoken when he talks.
Yeah, I think that match would more be a. Not to say vanity, because vanity is the wrong word, but it's someone The Rock wants to face. It's his cousin. It would allow him to give his cousin a big rub and put him over, which I'm sure The Rock would be very happy to do for his family, and put Roman into a position that most of his other family members have never even been in. And if you look at that family and that family tree, not a lot of them have ascended to being the level of The Rock.
No, they haven't.
So, it's most of the time they end up being tag team champions, and that's about it. So, for The Rock to become WWE champion, you know, for Yokozuna to do the same thing, Rock could add that to...
He would cement Roman Reigns in the main event scene and put him into that next stratosphere and basically make Roman Reigns. I'm not saying it's a bad matchup. I'm just saying my preference would be Bray Wyatt, which I found curious that I brought up. Now to sidetrack all this because I'm going on a tangent. So be ready.
Okay.
I'm going to go way back to WrestleMania 29 for a second. And everybody complaining about Dwayne The Rock Johnson being the WWE champion and not working house shows and yada, 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 missing this and missing that, part-timer being the champion, yada, yada, yada. Hey, newsflash, your current WWE champion is not working house shows right now. He's taking the next few weeks off from house shows. Just point that one out. He's missing the big overseas tour. He's going to be missing a couple editions of Monday Night Raw in the next 3 weeks, building up to SummerSlam. So for your second biggest show of the year, he's missing some Raws. He's missing the house shows. He's missing the big international tour, and he's your WWE champion. And you all bitch about The Rock.
To be fair, they bitch about Cena, too.
But not because of that.
Not because of that, but...
And why why is Mr. Cena missing all this time? He's filming a movie. John Cena, big-time movie star, missing Monday Night Raw and wrestling. Just saying. Sorry, I had a rant about that.
No, you're fine.
Anyway, back to all what we were talking about.
Anyway, back to what we were talking about. You know, ideally for me, and I've talked about this before, is I wish I could have seen Taker versus Rock at Mania for the streak. Because I think that could have been an interesting program. And they've never faced each other at Mania. And they've always kind of sort of danced around each other. If that makes sense. They've never really had that full-on...
Extended program
with each other, and you really could do something special with the two of them.
You really could, and it would make the streak very important. Even though the streak was very important, blah, 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 it would be one of those, that would be the match, the main event, it would get the world talking. The world is watching, the world is talking. That sort of thing.
Right. And it's just kind of unfortunate that we never got to see it. I would still love to see Taker versus Rock. I think it would still be a good match. I think Rock could carry Taker to a good match even now.
Yeah, I think he could. Because the Rock and Cell, they can work a nice pace that both guys can work.
Yeah. And I think it would still be good, but it just it kind of loses something without the streak. But as I've said before, with Taker, it's like if he comes back and you bring him back, now you actually have to build a story for him. You have to build a feud for him. It's not just anymore so-and-so is challenging for the Undertaker for the streak. Taker accepts. Or Taker challenges so-and-so. He puts the streak on the line. So-and-so accepts. That's your story. You actually have to build something for the Undertaker and build a whole program for him to come back at Mania and face The Rock or face whoever. You know, if it's going to be Sting, if it's going to be The Rock, if it's going to be, you know, Bray Wyatt. They have to build that program.
Right. And as of now, the Undertaker's not coming back, as far as we know.
Yeah, this is all speculation. This is literally the dream match. I would love to see Rock versus Taker at Mania. But there is no indication Taker's coming back. In fact, everything I've heard is that Taker is done.
As of a month ago, he was not coming back.
Yeah. His body is just... Yeah, he's done. That's what I was saying. It's like, Taker versus Sting, it'd be great to see, but I don't think Taker's going to be able to do it.
But we'll see what happens when he gets... You know, when he gets, it's going to be November and December when he goes, time to train.
And he needs to start training now.
Yeah, but you know, when he gets into that routine and it's like, oh, I don't... Like, can he get fired up one more time? So that'll be the big test. When it comes around Mania season and he's not there, then we'll know it's over.
Right. And I just kind of want to go back real quick to Rock versus Bray Wyatt and say also that if they book that feud, if they do that feud, you would have to have Rock take that one seriously. You can't have him do the normal shtick like he did with Cena.
He would still do it, but at the same time, it would start that way, and then serious Rock.
Yeah, you'd have him do it, but you can't have him do it all the time. You would have to have him...
Take the threat of Bray Wyatt actually seriously.
Yeah, take the threat of Bray Wyatt actually seriously. So that... But that one could be an intriguing feud.
It would be.
Especially for the mic work, that could be pretty cool.
I'd pay money to see that.
Same here, but you'd have to see. So, who would you go with to see Rock, you know, face at 31, if you could see anything?
Bray Wyatt. That's the match. That's the match I want to see. We don't need to see Rock and Jericho again. We've seen that. I don't need to see him against John Cena. We've seen that. I don't need to see him against Randy Orton. There's the one guy that's the most intriguing beyond the Undertaker is Bray Wyatt. Because I don't... Sting versus The Rock? No. That really doesn't do anything for me. It's Bray Wyatt because he's the most interesting character on the rise right now. That's my thought.
I'm going with either Bray Wyatt or Taker. I can't pick. I mean, obviously for me, it would be Rock Taker, but since Taker is probably done, Bray Wyatt.
So there you go. That's our question of night discussion. Now it's time to get into some battleground, Lindsay.
It is, and oh my goodness, it is shaping up to be an exciting show.
It is an exciting show, and it starts out on the pre-show. We talked about it on Sunday that it was not confirmed on WTR, but it has been confirmed as of Monday Night Raw. It will be your kickoff to Battleground on WWE Network and YouTube and Facebook and Twitter and Yahoo and wherever else they stream it. It will be the battle of the former Funkadactyls. Cameron takes on Naomi. This one's interesting just because of the way it's being positioned. I said on Sunday that it would be Naomi. I don't know. What's your thought?
This is going to be a whooping. Just plain and simple, these two are going to go at it. They're going to beat the crap out of each other. I'm trying to think of who got the upper hand last.
Cameron was beating up on Emma on Main Event, and Naomi made the save. It's sort of like Naomi's been trying to get her hands on it, and she was very confident that she wants... Like, she was very overconfident on main event when she was on the was on commentary with Tom Phillips and Byron Saxton. I don't know what I don't know if they do anything on SmackDown. I don't remember. I don't think they did. So her being very overconfident, I think I'm maybe changing my pick from Sunday. I don't. Are you sticking with Cameron?
Did I pick Cameron?
I believe you did.
Yeah, I'll stick with Cameron just because I can see them giving her the win over Naomi. She surprises Naomi, and then they can do a rematch either on Raw or on SmackDown, or even take it to the next pay-per-view where you have Naomi get the win back because you still have... Because I think they're getting ready to move Naomi on to AJ after this is done, but you need to free AJ up from Paige. So
which probably won't be until after SummerSlam.
Which probably won't be until after SummerSlam, so I can see them doing the feud between the Funkadactyls for leading that up to SummerSlam, where you do two matches, and then you have Naomi and AJ at Night of Champions. So I'm going to go with Cameron. I'm going to say Cameron surprises Naomi and picks up the victory, which leads to Naomi looking for revenge at SummerSlam.
I don't think it gets to SummerSlam unless they do it again on the kickoff, because I don't think we're going to get three women's matches on SummerSlam, because there's one that's probably happening and then you get the title match. I don't think these girls make it to that. I think it'll be something on Raw, probably. Just the way she was talking, she was like very confident that she's going to beat Cameron, and I think that's swaying me. I'm changing my pick. I'm going to Cameron. I don't know, the way it was handled on the main event swayed me a little bit. So I'm changing, I'm going with Cameron instead of Naomi. Cameron wins, and now watch Naomi win.
Yeah.
So there you go. We'll stick with the women. WWE Divas Championship, AJ Lee versus Paige.
AJ. Sticking with AJ.
They were very friendly on Monday Night Raw. They're in a tag match on SmackDown. They're very friendly with one another, which means something is about to happen. I think it happens the night after, then after Battleground. AJ gets the upper hand, and then Paige, you know, sort of gets frustrated with it.
Well, Paige is, I think, they're trying to lead each other into a false sense of security, where it's like, you're my friend, but you're, as Paige put, you're my frenemy. And there's the classic saying that, you know, keep your friends close and your enemies closer. So it's something of, you know, Paige played AJ to get the title. AJ played Paige to get it back.
Right.
Now they're kind of dancing around each other because Paige has got the rematch. And it's, well, we can either be bitches about this or we can be, you know, friendly to each other's faces and bitches behind your back kind of thing. And so it's, I think they're both trying to lead each other into a false sense of security. And so this is going to be another, it's going to break down really quickly kind of match, especially when the bell rings. And I'm just thinking AJ's going to be a little bit smarter than Paige.
Yeah, AJ outsmarts Paige in this one. Like, she's trying to pick her up after a move, and AJ gets her into the Black Widow or a small package or something. It's going to be one. Yeah. They're going to have a really good match, and I think Paige is going to try to be friendly, and it's going to cost her. And then that's where Paige unleashes either at the pay-per-view or in the coming weeks on Monday Night Raw.
I don't even think it's Paige tries to be friendly. I think it's Paige tries to be clever.
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying that's what I mean, clever. Clever is a better word.
Yeah, and it's, she's trying to be clever and she's trying to outsmart AJ, and AJ's smart enough and clever enough herself that she can see Paige is trying to play her.
Right.
And she's playing along because that's the vibe that you get, you know, at least from Monday night when they were sitting there doing commentaries. Paige is being like, oh yeah, I'm being so friendly and so fake, and AJ's like, yeah, you're being really fake, but I'm going to play along, kind of deal.
Yeah.
That's exactly what this is it's like, AJ has what Paige wants, and AJ's not about to give it to Paige. But they're going to be nice to each other's faces until somebody makes the move. So it's all determined on who's going to make the first move, and it's probably going to be Paige in the match. Because they'll dance around each other until Paige goes for it.
I can now just picture at some point Paige does mocks AJ with skipping.
She probably will.
At some point. Anyway, yeah, I'm going with AJ. It makes sense for her to retain the title. I don't see them swapping the belt back and forth just yet. USA versus Russia. Jack Swagger versus Rusev. Lana and Zeb in respective corners. It's going to be Rusev crush. That's kind of simple. but I don't know why, but I'm not looking forward to the match, but I'm sort of am looking forward to this one.
I'm looking forward to Zeb and Lana's antics.
That's pretty much it, yeah, because she was aggressive on Monday night.
She got into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she did. It was great to see. By the way, it was really good. Great to see that she was able to get in there and slap Zeb, which was kind of awesome.
It was. It was really awesome. It's like, go Lana.
It's your
birthday. Get you some. Go get you some.
So are you with me, Rusev crush? Swagger's not the one to beat him.
Swagger's not the one to beat him, but it's going to be close. And Swagger's going to be the one to give Rusev, I think, the biggest run-in for his money to date.
That's for sure.
But, yeah, I don't see them hanging the loss on Rusev just yet. But I almost want to say Swagger just to see Lana come back for revenge against Swagger, but I can see Zeb taking another swing at it.
Probably on Monday.
But yeah, I don't see them having Rusev lose just yet, so I'm going with Rusev.
Yeah, Rusev crush. the next contest on their thing is WWE Tag Team titles are on the line. The Uso Crazy take on the Wyatt family in a 2 out of 3 falls match. Oh my god, this is going to be good. If their match at Money in the Bank was good, this should be really good.
Yeah, this will be a good match. This will be fantastic. The kids and the Usos are going to mix it up like crazy. This might be a show stealer.
This has all the earmarkings of a show stealing match. Going with the Wyatts. I just see that it's time for a change. And if you don't do it now, I don't know anywhere else you can do it.
The thing is you don't have enough fuel to get this to SummerSlam. I would say if they had enough gas in the tank to get it there, to take it to SummerSlam and have the Wyatts win at SummerSlam, that would be the place to do it. But I just don't see them being able to get this there. So you have to give the Wyatts the win. If nothing else, to get it to SummerSlam where you have the Usos challenge for the titles and you have the Wyatts get the win at SummerSlam.
I just thought you can't get this to SummerSlam. If they didn't do the match on Raw, you can get to SummerSlam, but they did the match on Raw, so this is...
Yeah, and they're putting a stip on it. It's 2 out of 3 falls, so yeah, this is the blow-off. And I would say this is where the Wyatts are going to win.
Most likely, yes.
Where Luke and Eric go out there, they kick ass, and they bring home the titles.
Eric finally gets to cradle his belt for real.
He gets to cradle his child, his little golden baby. That's going to be adorable if it happens.
It really will be. So we're both going with the Wyatt family. Intercontinental Championship is on the line. In an over-the-top rope battle royal, the participants include Cesaro, Kofi Kingston, the Great Khali, Rob Van Dam, Dolph Ziggler, Big E Langston, Ryback, Curtis Axel, Alberto Del Rio, Sheamus, Fandango, Sin Cara, Zack Ryder, The Miz, Diego, R-Truth, Xavier Woods, Heath Slater, Titus O'Neil, and Bo Dallas.
I'm going to go with Cesaro. I know I picked Bo Dallas. And I still believe in Bo Dallas, but he's not ready for a title yet. And, yeah, Cesaro's, they're priming him for something. Especially if they're getting ready to split Paul Heyman off, with Brock coming back for SummerSlam. They need to give Cesaro something. So I can see Cesaro getting the IC title and holding on to the IC title and feuding with that while Heyman is busy with Brock.
Cesaro seems very, very logical. They've had him lose on he's been losing a lot on TV, so he's looking like, okay, he's beatable, and then he can come back and win the title on the pay-per-view. That's stupid booking. The idea for Cesaro should make him look strong, keep him looking strong, because that's how you build people. Dolph Ziggler. I have no rhyme or reason. I would be okay with a Dolph Ziggler versus Cesaro match for the Intercontinental title at some point.
That'd be a good match.
So I'm going Dolph Ziggler. I'll be completely wrong because it'll probably be Cesaro. But I'm going with Ziggler because I just... yeah. Reasons. Dean Ambrose versus Seth Rollins. And what could, again, if given enough time and telling the right story, could be match of the night.
Oh, this is going to be match of the night. These two are going to go out there and kick the shit out of each other. And they'll get time.
So what's your thinking in this one? This is the first real battle between former SHIELD, these two former SHIELD members. They finally get a hands on each other. They took them out of the six-man tag on Monday night so they couldn't touch. Until the pay-per-view is the first real battle between the two. This one should be really, really good. I'm leaning towards Dean Ambrose pulling out the victory. He's been losing a lot, so he needs this win to get himself to right the ship a little bit. And it'll allow the authority to, you know, to... If Seth Rollins wins, the idea of a rematch sort of doesn't work. If Ambrose wins... There's more of a reason for a rematch. That's why I'm going with Ambrose.
I'm still sticking to a no contest. It's really that close to call. Because it's like, yeah, Ambrose needs the win, but so does Rollins. Because Rollins is Mr. Money in the Bank. Rollins is the guy is basically option B if the title match doesn't go the authority's way, which we know it's not. So, it doesn't seem right to have Rollins lose to Dean Ambrose and then have him cash in later and potentially lose later.
Right.
So it's... I'm going to say this is a no contest. I'm going to say Ambrose snaps and goes after Rollins, and the two of them just brawl, and it never gets started. They just brawl, and they kick the shit out of each other. And that's all this is. Like, they don't have a match, per se. It's just they beat the crap out of each other until they have to be pulled apart. That's how I see this going down. And then that way, it's something of you can get it to SummerSlam.
That's
you can take it to the next pay-per-view.
That's another way to do it.
Is you have these two just fight each other. And just keep fighting and keep fighting until finally Seth and Dean have enough. And it's something or the authority has enough. And they either throw them in a cage together. They put a stip on it. Whatever, something to keep them in the ring so they can have the match and they can fight. But yeah, I can see, I just don't see it getting started.
I can see that. I can also see the match get started and Seth Rollins just has had enough and he's trying to get away from Dean and they just start brawling through the crowd and that they both get double count out. I could see that.
Yeah, it's something of you don't have a victor in this match. You just have the two kick the shit out of each other for about, 15, 20 minutes. And then you have a double count out or you have whatever. And then that way it's when you have Seth come down to potentially cash in later in the night, you have Dean come out and stop him. And that leads to more issues with Seth and Dean in terms of continuing that feud on. And taking them to the next pay-per-view, because this is at least going to SummerSlam, if not Night of Champions.
Oh, at the very least, it's going to SummerSlam, yeah.
So, it's too close right now, and honestly, a no contest. I can see Seth demanding another match with Dean to prove that he can beat Dean. To prove that he can win. And Dean accepts the match because that means he gets his hands on Seth. Like, Seth losing by, say, double countout, so they both lose. And it's a no contest. That plays to Seth's vanity.
Right.
And it's something of Seth needs to prove. He can beat Dean Ambrose so he can prove that he is championship material to the Authority. Because he's been directed by the Authority to handle Dean Ambrose directly. So it's something of, I can see that double count out leading to another match between Seth and Dean. And then maybe that's the point at SummerSlam where you have Dean potentially win. Is he beats Seth, and Seth makes a third challenge.
I could see that.
With either Seth or Dean picking up the victory, and they could split the feud. Or Dean completely wins the feud. Because the thing is once Seth wins, it's done.
Right. So you gotta keep Rollins on the chase.
Yeah, so I'm saying no contest here.
I buy into your scenario. I'm still going with Ambrose. Just because I think that's the direction they're gonna go. Main event for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. Roman Reigns, Kane, and Randy Orton tried to challenge John Cena for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. John Cena wins.
Yeah.
Spoiler.
Cena's gonna win.
Spoiler alert. It's John Cena.
Yeah, Cena, all the way.
Here's the caveat. Battleground ending with Brock Lesnar either on the stage, his music playing, or Cena being laid out. I have a feeling he gets laid out since he's not doing Raw.
Yeah, he's probably going to get laid out.
Brock Lesnar is showing up on Sunday. #RackExclusive. And if he doesn't, well, I was wrong.
Brock's going to show up either Sunday or Monday.
Brock's coming.
Because you have Heyman guaranteeing an option C and everybody going, oh my god, it's Cesaro. No.
No, it's Brock Lesnar.
It's Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, Plan B is Seth Rollins, as you heard in the new Raw post-show commercial. I hear it every Monday night right after Monday Night Raw. Rollins is Plan B. Brock Lesnar is Plan C.
Yes.
So there you have it. That's
Didn't you miss one?
What did I miss? Which one did I miss?
Jericho and Bray.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that one. Yeah, save that one. Forgot about that one. Can I close on the link? Yeah. Chris Jericho versus Bray Wyatt. How could I forget this match? Anyway, go.
I don't know. I'm thinking of changing my pick.
Okay.
I see Jericho picking up the victory.
He outsmarts Bray Wyatt.
Which is a very common theme with Bray. That he gets outsmarted quite a lot. And then he comes back, because once again, Bray Wyatt learns from his mistakes, and he never makes the same mistake twice, except for being outsmarted. It's the only one. It's something of he kind of underestimates people, because it's like you had Bray Wyatt get the upper hand Monday night, and he beat the shit out of Chris Jericho, and left him laying. And then tomorrow night, they're going to mix it up, but I don't think they touch. Does Jericho...
I believe Bray cost Jericho.
Spoiler alert.
And by the way, what was the best match on the TV taping on the Tuesday night? Bray Wyatt, Luke Harper versus Chris Jericho.
Yeah, I heard it's really, really good. There was... I know someone who was there. She said it was a fantastic match. Luke Harper's shirt apparently gets ripped open. And he's very furry.
He's going to need a new shirt. All right, one of his older shirts. A new old shirt.
A moment of silence for the tank top.
Yeah.
So...
Don't make me change my pick. God, that was such a convincing argument. Crap.
I really want to stick with Bray. But at the same time... I listen to Mesa's argument, and just watching the shows, I can see Chris Jericho getting the victory, especially if the kids are going to win the tag titles.
My only argument is Bray's only technically lost once by pinfall. Once. And that was John Cena WrestleMania. That's it. It's the only time he's actually been pinned. Every other time there's been a disqualification or he was trapped in a box.
The thing is I almost want to say Jericho, because I can see both sides of this. That's the really difficult part of this for me, is like I can see Jericho outsmarting Bray Wyatt and he pins Bray Wyatt, but I can also see Jericho trying to outdo Bray. And he gets a little crazy, in quotations, and he ends up costing himself the match, either by using a chair or something else, and Bray wins by DQ.
I think we're going to see it. I think Chris Jericho... I'm going with Bray Wyatt because I just have that... I don't want to see Bray lose again just yet. I don't want to see him being pinned, and I can see a DQ finish. I can see Bray Wyatt likes to bring the monster out of people, and Jericho wants to go crazy, and so that's an easy scenario right there. You bring that out. And then I could see on Monday night, because the idea has been, save us, Chris. We remember this. Why, you know, when you said you're going to save us. I can see, after Bray beats Jericho, him looking for revenge, and Jericho basically saying, basically to the point of, who's going to save you from me? And goes after him that way.
Yeah, and I can see that. And that's why I was like, you know, I can visually see it in my head of Chris Jericho snapping, Bray Wyatt brings the monster out of Jericho, that we all know is there, and Jericho snaps and goes after Wyatt, and ends up costing himself the match against Wyatt. And I can see Bray sitting there laughing at Jericho.
I can, too. This is only the beginning. This is not the end.
Yeah, so it's... Which would leave Jericho positively incensed that Bray Wyatt outsmarted him. And I really want to... see that. I want to see Bray Wyatt outsmart someone, because when he does it, it's really phenomenal when he does it. And so I would love that to happen with Jericho, where Jericho thinks he's got him, he thinks he's got him figured out, and Wyatt tricks him. And Jericho underestimates Bray, and Jericho ends up costing himself the match. And Bray Wyatt sits there and laughs at him, which leads to Jericho wanting revenge. against Bray. Because I don't think this is a situation where Bray should go looking for Jericho. Jericho needs to come after Bray. Bray's initiated the feud. He went after Jericho initially. Now you need to have Jericho chase Bray.
Yeah, you do. And I want to see that happen. So yeah, I'm going with Bray. You said that both arguments. Which pick?
I'm going with my heart, even though it's wrong 90% of the time, and I'm sticking with my boo-boo and sticking with Bray.
So that would do it for WWE Battleground Pick'em here on the rack. Remember, you can tweet us your picks at Wild Talk Radio on Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network or Facebook.com/group/Wild Talk Radio Network. The pick thing will be in the group starting tomorrow.
And on that note, I think it does it for us as well.
That will do it for us as well, as we're done. We're out of here. This has been The Rack, and you can check us out next Thursday night live at 10 p.m. Eastern right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. You can follow this show on Twitter at WTR_Rack and Facebook.com/WTRTheRack. Saturday night, midnight edition of CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, the unusual. I thought all week, Lindsay, there wasn't going to be any Blame Robs, because it's Thursday, nothing's happened. There were two Blame Robs tonight.
Are we blaming the Russia thing on Rob?
No, I don't think we are. We could. Should we? Nah, I think that's just too wrong. But no, we'll see. Rob should be back on the show. I don't think he hasn't told me he's working close, so I think he's back. So Rob's back. Ace probably will be there. Subway will be there as always. We'll hear more of WWE 2K14 talk with him and whatever movies and other stuff. It's weird, the wacky, and usual. We'll probably play a game. I haven't played a game in a few weeks, so we'll probably play a game on Saturday. So check it out. CB Radio Midnight is. Check it out. Follow us on Twitter at CB Radio WTR and Facebook.com/CigaretteButtonMidnight. Go to CBRadio.EWAZone.com and check out all 339 episodes that show has ever done. Sunday night WTR, Sunday night live at 11 p.m. Eastern. Recapping WWE Battleground. Omega will be back after his trip to MetroCon. Follow that show on Twitter at WTR Sunday and Facebook.com/WrestleTalkRadio. Monday night, right after Monday Night Raw. So Raw posted 11:10-ish. I don't want to steal ish, but 11:10, 11:15, whenever Monday Night Raw ends, we will be right on the air to talk all about it. And again, we'll be back next Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern for another edition of The Rack. You can follow me on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio and Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network.
You can follow me on Twitter at Lynn's Ward, LANSWRD, and go to my website, psychwardesigns.com. Check that out. If you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at Behance.net/Lynn's Ward, same as the Twitter. Of course, check out all the other fine programming on this network, and visit our fine sponsors, PWMania.com, TNAsylum.com, the haven for TNA fans, and of course, Wrestling Figure Wednesdays, YouTube.com/MBG1211. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you next week.
Bye.